This is Shaman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Craig Shaman along with Pete Shepard on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN. It is the 5 o'clock hour. We are getting you into your weekend. Plenty of football on tap, a little bit of golf. Watching Tiger Woods right now, having a phenomenal day atop the leaderboard, shooting over the water onto a little island, and not a bad shot.
Not a bad shot? What are you talking? You put it to 25 feet from 209.
Release the hounds, baby.
Listen, this is last call for Cleveland Brown fans. You've been basking in the glory of your win. We've opened up the phone lines to you. We kind of did our own thing. Yes.
What? They waited 635 days.
Yes. They get one day on Shaman and Shepard.
4 hours?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, because Monday we're going to be talking about the Lions' greatest win of all time when they smoke Pete's Patriots.
Listen, don't tempt me with a good time.
That's fine.
I mean,
that was best for the show.
The time is now. The time is now to get the phone calls in if you want to bask in your glory, Browns fans. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. That was a lot of fun. That game last night, the first quarter was just a disaster. Tyrod Taylor couldn't hit the side of the barn. Offensive line couldn't block for him. They couldn't run. It was a scramble just to get to the line of scrimmage on running plays.
Five punts in seven minutes.
Then Tyrod Taylor gets hurt with 1:42 to go in the half. Baker Mayfield makes his NFL pro debut and is phenomenal. Phenomenal. And leads him to victory and his legendary status begins.
Pretty good.
Phenomenal. He was 17 of 23 with three dead drops. Should have been phenomenal. 20 of 23.
Phenomenal.
200 yards in a half of football is almost as good as Ryan Fitzpatrick.
He was very good. Ryan Fitzpatrick has been phenomenal.
He's been phenomenal in that he was zipping the ball,
yes,
throwing
he was.
The whole team changed, the whole crowd, everything changed. And he came in to make his debut in a 2-minute drill. That's not easy. And got points on the board. So that was a lot of fun. It was a moment to be shared. Ratings up. 8 million people watched a game last night, even though the first half stunk. What is this long soliloquy that some Jets fan has just typed in?
You want to read the whole thing? Go ahead.
Is it witty?
Yes, it's very witty.
Keep it pithy. All right, go.
An open letter to the Jets from 239. Dear New York Jets, I don't know where to begin, especially since we've been through so much together, but I think we need a break, and I don't know who you are anymore. We've had our ups and downs, obviously. The time when we helped Curtis move to New York from New England. And even before that, we had always sung the same favorite tune. We went through the best and worst of when your buddy Vinny lived with us. At that time, we all fell in love with Chad. I put up with the one-night stand with the guy Brett and the highs and lows that followed when you brought that guy Mark into our lives. You really had me there for a while, only to realize that neither of you could keep your head out of your own butts. I'll never understand why you keep bringing these guys into our life that give our stuff to other people. So now these past 3 weeks, it all feels too familiar. I just don't know that I can let you hurt me again like you did before. I see the guys that have gotten away from you. And they seem better.
Wow. Well, listen, I think you're okay with Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold's going to be just fine. Look, he made some mistakes last night in the game, no question about it. 239, I love the severe case of amnesia that all sports hosts have. What does that mean?
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means.
Somebody trying to be clever when they're not.
Well, I don't get it,
Not on this show.
What are they trying to say? Amnesia. I just look, Baker Mayfield.
Because you didn't hear a bad thing said about Baker Mayfield on this show. We all loved Baker coming out of OU.
Yep.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah.
And I'll go ahead and I'll say we were kind of meh on Darnold.
Yeah.
Kind of meh.
Yeah.
On Rosen.
Yeah.
And nobody was a fan of Josh Allen.
Right.
We were
because
high
hadn't
on
played,
Baker,
hadn't played anybody.
Low on Allen.
Yeah, good point.
On the other two.
Yeah, so this show nailed it months ago.
Nailed it.
The only thing
we said was Josh Allen probably went to the best environment.
Yes.
The best was like Wyoming, was Buffalo. And I think he will get better. I think he played a lot better in the second half last week.
What are you talking about, 239? This guy's played two quarters, and all of a sudden he has a bronze statue outside. Who the hell put him in the Hall of Fame?
Nobody.
Who gave him a statue? We said he was very good last night. Come on, Mike. Sports fans.
It's what they do, though. They hear what they want to hear.
30 starting quarterbacks since 1999, and we like how this guy's playing, and all of a sudden we're getting ripped.
It was a great debut last night. It was a moment. It was a moment, whether you like it or not. It was. Don't put him in the Hall of Fame. It was a great moment last night.
Now, before we go to the phones, I have a question for you. I've been asking it all day. Hugh Jackson, who I've not been impressed with, I don't like his strategy at quarterback. He's had his head in the sand. He's been adamant about Tyrod Taylor being the guy and easing Baker Mayfield in. It was clear that everybody in the building and everybody watching on TV knew it was time to put Baker Mayfield in the second half. Would he have put him in the second half if Tyrod Taylor didn't get a concussion?
I don't think so.
I don't think he would have either. I have no confidence he would have done the right thing.
Michael Irvin, I believe last night, said the same thing. I don't think anybody believes that he would have been in there had it not been for Avery Williamson knocking him out of the game.
Let's go to the phones to speak with the people of Southwest Florida. A lot of Browns fans out there. 239-337-ESPN. 239-337-3776. Wayne in Naples. You're out with Sheeman and Shepherd. Go ahead.
Wayne's World.
Hey, I'm happy for my Brownies. Woo!
You should be. I know it's too bad you don't have your own theme song like Chris.
So what were your emotions like last night early on in the game?
Well, it was just like another Browns game early on in the game, just getting ready for another loss. But look, Baker came in and turned everything around. Everything was, oh, man. I went to tears. It's been 19 games.
You okay, Wayne?
Are
you okay?
Sorry, that's the Wayne, by the way, guys.
Which Wayne?
Stick to sports, Wayne.
Oh, the Wayne that criticized us before?
Stick to sports, Wayne.
By the way, I just looked up. Tiger hit a long. Was that, how long was that putt?
27 feet.
For a bird?
An 11% make chance.
So he's got the outright lead
there,
right? So
he's minus 8.
He has the outright lead at 8 under. You are correct.
All right. Wow. I got to piecemeal it together. I'm hosting a show here.
It. This guy,
I can't just sit here and watch golf.
Fowler's wearing his Purdue colors again.
Well, why? He's from Oklahoma State.
I know.
Let's go back to the phone.
It's a sponsor that looks black and gold.
Hurts. No. Zach in Fort Myers. You're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Hello.
Hey, Zach.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
My question is, do you think Baker can bring enough energy, enthusiasm, momentum to carry the Browns into the playoffs, or am I just an overzealous Browns fan?
No, I think there's reasonable expectations. Let's take it one game at a time. I think next week, Zach, I think Oakland's going to lose this week to Miami. They're going to be 0-3. It's going to be a great test. It's going to be a great test for Baker and the Browns to go into the black hole and in a hostile environment, which I think Baker loves. I think he loves. He thrives on it.
Plant the flag.
So what he did last year at Ohio State. So that'll be a really good test to see what happens there. But take it one game at a time. And if Hugh Jackson's coaching, they're not going anywhere, as far as I'm concerned. But I don't think he will be by Halloween.
Oh man!
Well, here's the reason I think I might tap the brakes on the playoff thing is it was just the Jets. I don't think the Jets are very good yet. And so you got the win.
But they played two other good teams. Fair enough. Very tough. Yeah. They played two other teams right down to the wire.
Yeah. Thanks, Zach. I appreciate the
phone call. Well, they've done that, and you start. Just project forward. Listen, it's 2018. I don't think any of us are putting expectations on the Browns. Just see what happens with this team.
Right.
But moving forward. You've got Jarvis Landry locked up. He looked to have a nice rapport with Baker last night.
Tough as nails.
You've got a guy under center. We don't know how high the ceiling is, but it looks like he's at least a starting quarterback in this league.
Yeah.
You got a couple of options at running back. I think we all want to see more of Duke Johnson.
Yep.
But Carlos Hyde was very good last night.
Wife was having a baby. He came to the game. By the way, is he a Naples guy? Naples High School guy?
Yeah, went to Naples High School. Right. So he was very good. Okay, what about the other side of the ball? Myles Garrett, legit pass rusher.
Yep.
Like, already top 10 in the NFL. Might be top 3 right there with, like, Khalil Mack and Von Miller at this time next year. Denzel Ward, we were kind of saying, really? You're taking Denzel Ward at number 4 overall? He's had a spectacular start.
Had that nice takeaway last night.
As well. So you can start to see some pieces in place for the Browns moving forward. It's optimism. And as a Browns fan, you haven't had that in like 2 years. So enjoy that.
Their weakest link is their coaching.
That's what it is. Their coach. Their head coach is their weakest link. That's the problem.
Yeah.
is he going to cost? He's going to put Baker in a lose-lose situation.
You see that afterward, a video in the locker room where he gave Baker the game ball and then they hugged. You could tell Baker's face. I'm big on facial expressions. He was like, all right, let me just get this hug over with. You've benched me for 2.5 games. I don't know why, but here I am. I don't think he respects him. I'm not so sure he does. I think Baker respects Tyrod Taylor. In fact, I absolutely know he does. But I don't know if he respects the coach. Let's go to Scott in Fort Myers. You're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Hello.
What's going on, guys? What a great day.
Yeah. How about that, huh?
Oh, my God. It was like I felt like I was watching Bernie Kosar, Webster Slaughter, Kevin Mack, Clay Matthews, Frank Minifield, Hanford Dixon. It's one game, but it's like a Super Bowl for us.
Now, Scott, how dare you leave out Brian Sipe?
Yeah, Brian Sipe.
That's how I became a Browns fan. I grew up in San Diego. He went to San Diego State, then went to the Browns. Wow. That was my thing.
Yeah.
Nice.
Should have beat the Raiders in 1980.
I guess there's like so many reasons why Hugh Jackson should have been fired by this point. Take the record out of the equation, but by the fact that, he probably wouldn't have put Baker in.
Yes.
To fire him now for that.
Yeah.
I agree. Fire him now because he wouldn't put Baker in. The caller's absolutely right.
I think you're right.
And I said it to myself last night as soon as we got to halftime. Hugh Jackson should be fired.
It was so day and night. The velocity, the ball just hums out of Baker Mayfield's hands.
Just look at the other 10 guys on the field.
Yep.
Look, they came off the ball a little harder, it looked like. I mean, there was an optimism in that huddle. You could tell.
All right, let's take a listen to Hugh Jackson. He made a few comments after the game.
There is a hue,
a pinkish hue. Hugh Jackson, the head coach, said it's a relief that the Browns have finally won a game, and he believes we are entering a new era.
Am I excited about tonight? Oh, my gosh, are you kidding me? I'm tired of all the jokes. I'm tired of all the things being said. I know somebody said it was like you try to watch TV, you try to miss a channel, but then there's some saying, it's been 600 and something days since the Browns won. I mean, we've been a brunt of jokes, a brunt of everything, and I get it, and we've owned that. I mean, we've deserved that, but hopefully maybe people will start saying that things are going to change here.
Well, things are changing because before, you were 1-31 and you had a bad team. But now, like Chris pointed out, there are pieces there now. You need to be winning games and you need to be putting the right people in the right positions on the field at the right time and start winning some more football games. By the way, he mentioned the 635 days that we have quoted numerous times. Now that the Browns have won, we can no longer say they are the longest losing streak team in the NFL. Would the two of you care to take a stab at the next team on the list as the longest losing streak in the National Football League? You may be a little surprised.
It's not the Lions.
It is not the Lions.
So you got to go to 0-2 teams.
Buffalo Bills?
Yes. You got to go to 0-2
teams. No, not the Buffalo Bills. They won the last week of the season last year.
They made the playoffs, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Houston.
Fact.
Was it? That's a
good guess.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Houston lost their last six last year.
That's right. Their
last win was November 19th. 31-21 over the... I can't even read my writing now. Team starts with a C.
Colts?
Carolina?
No.
Carolina?
No. No. Cards.
Start from the scene.
They beat the Cardinals 31-21 on November 19th, lost their last six, and have lost two here. Their losing streak is now 306 days, but they take on the 0-2 Giants this weekend. So we shall see. All right, let's hear more from Hugh Jackson. Hugh finds it funny that the media is in awe of Baker Mayfield's debut after they crushed the Browns for choosing him in the draft.
Are you guys surprised? I'm laughing because at one time people said, boy, we shouldn't have drafted him. Now everybody's saying, dang, he can really throw it. You're laughing in front of like that. Not you. I mean, I'm just saying in general, when we took him, boy, he was too small. He couldn't throw this, couldn't throw that. Now, boy, what throws he makes. I think that's funny to me. But I'm not surprised by any throw this young man makes. I told you guys that he does things in practice. I go, oh, my gosh. It's just timing. Timing's everything. You know, the right time, the right situation. Again, you can't deny the talent. You can't deny what he's able to do, and he showed that tonight.
Timing is for losers. If you're in practice saying, oh my gosh, and I can't believe the throws he's making, and then you watch Tyrod Taylor struggle to 4 of 14 in the first, what is he looking at? What is he waiting for? What is this timing he is speaking of?
He is trying way, way too hard to justify his decision not to start Baker Mayfield at the beginning of the season. That's what it is.
He's making plays in practice where you say, oh my gosh, why aren't you playing him in a football game?
I know. I have no explanation.
Didn't they get down pretty early to the Steelers as well?
I don't know if they were behind much in that game, were they?
I know they
got like a bunch of turnovers off the Steelers. Maybe they did climb back into that thing. But the fact is, this team should be 3-0 based on the talent they have. They should be 3-0.
They were down 21-7 going into the fourth quarter. Right, Baker Mayfield is making plays in practice where he's saying, "Oh my gosh," then why aren't you putting him in the game to make those "Oh my gosh" plays so you can win a football game?
I don't know.
He is infuriating.
Yeah.
He really is.
And if they had a field goal kicker, and that's another factor. If they had a field goal kicker, they could easily be 3-0. They could be 3-0.
Absolutely.
That first kick that Greg Joseph made, right-footed kicker.
Kid from FAU.
It went left of the upright and miraculously curved inward and was good. That was a miracle. That was
I don't know if it was a miracle.
Yeah, it was a miracle.
It was just a nice power fade.
That was a miracle. Bounced off, doinked off the upright and hit the crossbar and went through. But he hit 45 yards, 27 yards. The kid was hanging out in South Beach 3 days ago.
Do we still feel confident in his kicks? Yeah. Both of his kicks were a little shaky last night, but they made them. That's the difference. If the game's on the line, we need a 54-yarder, are we going to this guy? I think they didn't yesterday. I think at one time they punted when they could have kicked. They don't have confidence. That was probably the one good decision Hugh Jackson made.
Going for the field goal, that was a good decision. I think a lot of other coaches would have gone for it at that spot. But he actually punted.
Right.
When I thought maybe he might go for it, but that ended up being actually a good decision by Hugh.
Yes, I gave Hugh credit for that one. One more comment from Hugh. He stands by his decision to have Baker Mayfield sit to start the season.
I still stand by the decision. I think it was right. And again, I still think he needed the time. He needed the time to see, understand the National Football League, how it works. We're better served. I can't tell you that Baker would have performed like that week one.
I could have.
I mean, let's just be honest. I think him, the way he works, the time he spends, the time I think he spent with Coach Zampezi, with myself, I think it's been invaluable for him. And I think it led up to when he's ready to play, he was going to play well. That's all I've ever said about Baker. When we stick him out there, he was going to play well. And I truly believe that tonight was his coming out party. Now, we'll, talk about official things, in days to come. But obviously, he represented himself well in this organization, his football team well.
All right, that was Hugh Jackson last night. While he was talking, Tiger got himself in a little bit of trouble after having a nearly flawless day. What's that?
He had a fried egg in the
bunker?
In the side of a bunker?
In a fairway bunker, right. So he had to punch out. So got to get up and down from the fairway. Looks, about 75 yards?
Was this par 4?
Yes.
Oh, this could be trouble.
Yes, he was going for the green, but has to get up and down for the par.
Okay, very good. He still has the lead, a two-stroke lead at the moment through 15. Yeah. He's 8 under. Justin Rose is 600.
And Rose is in the trees on 17. So if Tiger can get up and down here, safe par, then it's big.
All right. Very good.
573 says Taylor was out with a concussion. Baker would have still had his chance last night. Yeah, I know. We were hypothesizing if they had a field goal kicker and if Williamson didn't knock him out. We all believe that he wouldn't be, that Baker wouldn't have gotten his chance.
Yeah. Which is inconceivable. Inconceivable.
972 texts in that Kevin Costner should have gotten all the credit.
What movie is that from?
Oh, that's
Draft Day?
Draft Day.
I guess I didn't see Draft Day.
You didn't see Draft Day?
No.
Listen,
was it good?
It wasn't as horrible as I thought. It wasn't
Kevin
as horrible
Kevin Costner only does baseball movies. You're telling me he did a football movie?
He was the GM of the Browns. No, it wasn't good. It wasn't horrible, though.
No. No, it wasn't good. I watched it once.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those things where it's like.
You got to be buzzed watching it.
Well, right.
So
because
you can laugh at it.
Because he turns like a 7th round draft pick into the number 4 overall draft pick.
And like three other draft picks.
Like it was,
He didn't get two number ones in that movie.
Yeah,
did
it
he?
Was so far
was
out
it
there.
Three? Where was if it you three act, number ones?
I think it was two because they had three first round draft picks in the movie.
It was like Bill Belichick then.
But it was like when whoever the writer was said, "Oh, this makes sense." But it doesn't make sense.
They needed a consultant.
Right.
On the
like,
script.
They should have called Jimmy Johnson and said, hey, send us your draft chart.
Yeah, but Roger Goodell was chart. In it. Roger Goodell was in it, wasn't he?
No.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he? I thought was he was in it? Yeah. Roger Goodell was in it. He had a cameo.
What year did this come out? I totally missed this movie.
Draft day? No. It
was that recent?
A couple years ago.
Probably 4 years ago, if I were to guess.
So Costner has 14. Done 10 Cup. He's done about eight baseball movies, and he did a football movie. Is he done basketball movies? Is he going to be in that, what's the one LeBron?
Space Jam 2.
Is he going to be in Space Jam now? Get a little basketball?
Which, by the way, will not be a true sequel to the Space Jam franchise. It will just be a very similar storyline.
Is it a redo?
No, it's not a remake. Okay. No, not a remake. Nice. First of all, if you're going to try to, LeBron's already failed trying to fill the shoes of Jordan once on the court. Let's not let him try to do it off the court as well.
Wow. So we have low expectations for this?
No, not low. It's just Space Jam 1 was, I'll say it was a cult classic.
It was. Which I missed. I missed. It missed my generation.
You guys are just so out of touch.
No, I told you. It was just I
don't watch cartoons as an adult.
Well, I do.
I admit it. I mean, but Family Guy, South Park. I'd watch it.
All right, I want to watch Tiger Woods here. What are we saying here? About a 18 footer?
No,
guessing?
Not that. Let's go 12 feet. 12 feet.
This
for par.
This is to save par after he had
to save par.
This is for bogey on a par five.
I missed a stroke somewhere along the way.
Oh yeah, my goodness!
Apologies, everyone. Apologies.
We could lose two strokes and lose the lead here.
Did he hit it unplayable somewhere?
No, he was right, but.
Wow, he's taking his time on this one. So he could lose two strokes on that. He's got a two-stroke lead. He's 8-under. Justin Rose is 6-under. And
yeah, you know who's in it, actually?
Who?
Black Panther.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the defensive end, I believe.
Oh, really?
Isn't Roger Goodell in it? I don't have the Wikipedia thing pulled up in front of me.
Hold on, let me get that.
I think he made a cameo. I think he made a cameo.
Wow.
And who was the woman that was also high up in the executive office that Kevin Carson was arguing with?
It was. Hold on one second. Let me just get this all pulled up.
Oh, he missed it for bogey. So he double bogeys this one. I mean, it's like an inch
five?
Out. Yeah.
When is the last time Tiger Woods double bogeyed a par five?
A seven spot. Loses his two stroke.
Jennifer Garner.
Lead.
Jennifer Garner, yeah.
Yep.
He's still in the lead, though, tied with Rose.
So Chris Berman.
Yeah, he made a cameo.
Mel Kiper, John Gruden, Dion. Mike Mayock.
Yep.
Anthony Rizzo. Aaron Goldhammer, radio host out of Cleveland.
All these people are in this?
Yep. Wow. Chadwick Boseman, obviously. He was the
Black Roger Panther, Goodell so. In it?
Aaron Foster's in it. Actually, Aaron Foster's the running back coming out of Tennessee wants to draft.
Really?
Yes. Dennis Leary is the mad offensive coordinator.
Yep. It got really, really bad, bad, bad. I didn't think it was as bad as the critics said. I think, Craig, if you watched it once, you'd get a kick out of it.
Yeah, all right.
You get a kick out of it. It's not like, you know, Hudson Hawk, one of the worst movies ever made.
That's a great way to put it, Pete. You would get a kick out of it. It's a little movie. Yeah. It's not going to change your life, but it, you know, for good or bad.
Yeah.
You're not going to say that was a waste of 90 minutes.
Okay.
But you're not going to say, never had a better 90 minutes in my life.
And what's it called again?
Draft Day.
Draft Day.
It's a real confusing title.
Not really. Okay.
I
don't want to just come out and say it, you know, ruin everything. So.
Right. Gotcha.
Just before we go to break, and this is off subject a little bit, but this is just, you know,
that's fine.
Typical.
5:30 on a Friday. That's acceptable.
Tends to happen around here.
Peter Gammons tweets this out. All the Marlins executives fired by the new ownership. Now get this. Mike Berger.
No,
in the beginning of the season.
Oh.
Mike Berger. Remember the revamping they were doing? Mike Berger, he's with the Brewers. Jeff McAvoy, he's with the Dodgers. Jim Benedict's with the Cubs.
I'm seeing
Mark Campiano is with the Yankees, and Jason Perry's with the Braves. Guess what? All working to help playoff teams.
So you're saying they had some talent in the front office,
I would say so. Everybody they fired got picked up by playoff contending teams.
By the way, what's the latest with Addison Russell and the Cubs?
He's been suspended for
allegations against spousal abuse.
These have been going on for a while. I mean, year ago, right?
And, yes.
But now we're suspending him now.
Well, there have been more details to come out.
Okay.
which,
yeah,
it's tough at the time. When you don't have the details, it's just tough to take an allegation. But when details start coming out, I feel like you can kind of form your own opinion on what happened.
All right.
Real quick, let me just answer this guy's question about where the Oakland Raiders defense ranks right now. And I can tell you this, it is, they only have two sacks. Their defense is ranked 22nd overall. They are they're second to last against the run. They've given up 154 yards a game, and they're 11th against the pass.
Who's worse, them or the Steelers? They're the worst two defenses in the league.
They are. And the Raiders have the second least amount of sacks in the league with two.
And our Florida teams are playing those two teams this weekend. How about that? Buccaneers have the Steelers, and the Dolphins get the Raiders.
Yep.
Pretty good. All right. Coming up, since it's 5:30 on Friday, I want to switch gears a little. I want to talk beer.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get into that.
Boom! Love beer.
Absolutely. Because I heard habaneros.
Simmer down
habanero, spicy, sweet type of beer. Habaneros in a beer.
It's Animal House on the other side of the glass. All right. We're talking beer. We're bringing it home at Sheeman and Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN, online at 99.3ESPN.com. Sheeman and Shepherd.
Don't forget the Southwest Florida High School Football Game of the Week coming up later on tonight to South Fort Myers and Palmetto Ridge.
As always, weather depending.
Right now it's good, right? I know there's a few clouds out there. We got stuff happening.
Let's hope we get something in tonight.
I haven't looked at radar. Check it out.
There's
just a
disturbance
bit
in the force, my young Padawan. By the way, Roger Goodell not liking Tiger Woods being on the leaderboard heading into Sunday. I can tell
no.
you that.
No.
That will interfere with ratings.
Well, he's got 18 holes to mess that up on Saturday.
Well,
so.
You know what I'm saying.
I got you.
He's in five strokes. He's going to be a draw.
Absolutely.
I think the NFL, coming off their big Thursday night performance, is an unstoppable force. We're week three. We are in. It is football season.
Yeah. By the way, Tiger's got a 12-footer for birdie.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Get one back after giving two strokes back just a moment ago. Still atop the leaderboard. Co-leader right now. But he had a two-stroke lead that just disappeared.
Maryland's, by the way, holding a press conference right now.
Oh, the
football program.
So let me recap that.
Yeah.
So
that was today. Yep.
Yeah.
Going on right now.
9 o'clock this morning, the Board of Regents came together to talk about the death of the player this spring, and they were going to give all their findings. And as of last night, the family hadn't heard a word. It was appalling, absolutely appalling. We all heard the press conference and watched back in the day when the school president and the AD said they were going to be very forthcoming, Damon Evans and Wallace Lowe, and they were going to be very open and very apologetic toward Jordan McNair's family. And then like 3 days later, the Board of Regents got involved and said, it felt dirty.
Yeah.
It felt like they were going to say, oh no, you just were so open and admitting to everything. You just cost this university millions of dollars in a future lawsuit. We're taking over the operation now. And everything's been top secret ever since. I mean, the family has the right to look at all these documents and redact any personal health information or whatever. So anyway, that meeting went, and it was a closed meeting, 9 o'clock today. And so the McNair family, as they said, we don't want to find out details about our son's death in the media during a press conference.
And like you said, the McNair family attorneys have granted the release of the entire report without redactions.
Mm. All right.
So the president is speaking right now.
All right. Anyway, just an interesting, crazy day over there.
It is.
Okay. By the way, not that it matters, but they host Minnesota this weekend, if you care about football there at Maryland. All right. So. Being a Friday, I thought all day long, Chris has been doing his Sports Center updates at the top, and half of them have been sponsored by breweries, and I've kind of caught half-list. And what's going on? It sounds delightful. What is this?
We've got two Tampa area breweries who are trying to capitalize on the magic that is Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yeah. Okay. It's St. Pete Brewing and Bullfrog Creek Brewing.
Okay.
Careful, say that one fast. Okay, so anyway, St. Pete Brewing, they are coming out with a double IPA. It's brewed with Citra and Galaxy hops. It's called Fitzmagic.
Oh, nice.
That might be somewhere where Minka Fitzpatrick can sue.
Oh, because he does own the rights to the Fitzmagic.
He owns the rights to Fitzmagic, and he's told He said that the Bucks can go and do whatever they want with the name, but this is a beer company. That might be something that his lawyer says, hey, Minka, you want to try to get a couple extra bucks?
Yeah.
Let's go about this.
Right.
And then, double IPA, so it's a nice strong beer, heavy taste. You know, one of those beers you got to chew to get it down. It's so
thick.
Oh,
I don't like that because I like it light,
you're
like water.
You're not an IPA guy.
No.
Let alone a double IPA guy. And then Bullfrog Creek Brewing, they're going with the a different play on words, the Ryan Fitzgregor.
Okay.
Because Ryan Fitzpatrick looks so much like Conor McGregor at the post-game press conference yesterday or last week.
Got it.
They're going with a sour IPA, which I don't believe I've ever had a sour IPA.
So it's thick, chewy, and sour? I probably wouldn't like that either.
Not as thick because it's not a double IPA. But it's still a heavier beer, higher alcohol content, and that's run through raspberries and habanero peppers.
Wow.
So it's sweet and hot?
Yeah.
Spicy?
Well, like I don't want to say that they're...
And habaneros are a step up from jalapenos.
Spicy, but it's just...
Light your mouth on fire, right?
No, because you don't get the spice, because the only thing that's spicy in a pepper, most of it's the... It's the seed. If you get the seed out, unless you're going to like a Carolina.
Yeah, but you
or
can still get the flavor
Reaper.
From a habanero without the without.
Right. So you're not, but you're not getting the spice that comes with
it.
I
am confident enough in my manhood to admit that back in my younger days, I wouldn't mind going to a brewery and getting a raspberry beer. I like my sweet tooth and all.
You don't
that.
Have a problem admitting that?
No.
Blueberry beer was popular.
Am I really
too,
surprised?
It still is popular.
I've never had a blueberry beer. I've had raspberry beer, and I liked it quite a lot.
Oh, they got a lot of different beers. Chocolate?
Orange.
I've never had a chocolate beer.
People putting orange slices in beers now.
Well, that's a Blue Moon staple, a Shock Top, which I've called the breakfast beer for many a year because it does go so well with orange. You know, it's basically the orange juice of beer.
Yeah. Sounds good. Get a little vitamin C.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
It's a healthy choice, Craig.
Sure. Sounds good.
What's the alcohol count? Some of these beers now come out.
IPAs can get up in the
eight,
eights.
Nine,
yeah,
10%.
Yeah, IPAs get up in the eights. I don't think I've ever seen one in the tens. But, yeah, they'll get up 7, 8, 9%.
What's my percent? I've
never
even looked.
This is a Belgian beer.
Four.
There's a Belgian beer out there. I think that's 12%.
Wow.
Don't know the name of it, but.
Well.
Yeah, they can get pretty. They can get up there in alcohol content now.
Yeah.
Depends on the brewing process and all of that as well.
Now, my days are blending together, and as you know, I get a little confused on what day it is when I do two shifts. I did first and last on national radio on ESPN both yesterday morning and this morning. Chris, you went out. Was that last night or was it two nights ago?
Two nights ago.
Oh, see, I would have sworn that was yesterday. So you went out to a fancy club, a private establishment.
A dinner club.
Dinner club. Do you have to have like a key to get in, or like a card or a membership? Or
what's nice is you're always greeted. You know, they know you.
Yeah,
they know who's part of the club.
Know you by name,
right?
Like Cheers,
right?
And
sometimes
get some beverages there.
You want to go? Yeah, I had some wine. Which when I do drink wine, I like it to be expensive wine. I don't like cheap wine.
Okay,
so I had some expensive wine.
Yeah. Wine you cook with, which always should be good wine.
Sure. No, you cook with cheap wine, don't you?
No, cherry wine. You don't cook with wine you wouldn't drink.
That's really?
The rule. Yes, you don't ever
cook
with
cheap wine.
Did not
know that, but no. I don't really cook with wine all that often.
But, you know, that's the rule of thumb. You never cook with wine that you would not drink.
I've done
yourself.
It one time, and I did short ribs braised in the oven in a red wine sauce, and wasn't a big fan, but maybe that's because I bought the cheapest.
Yeah.
I think I bought a Merlot to cook with that night.
Yeah.
Maybe a cab.
Yeah.
Something a little heavier.
Yeah. Got to get cook with good wine.
910 saying just stick to 25-ounce Bud Heavies, be done with it. That's definitely a legitimate route.
It's a good theory.
Yeah, that is. You know, what I found is there are different beers for different things, different activities. A different beer for a different moment.
Well, it's like wine.
If you're sitting sitting out on your back porch, you're listening to music, you're talking with, you want a better beer. You want something that's got a little bit more flavor. If you're kicking back with the buddies, with the boys on a Saturday, Saturdays
Light,
are for
Miller
the boys.
Light, Corona, Coors
yeah,
Light.
Absolutely. Throw something a little cheaper down, but you got to get a lot of it in there because you're drinking for a long time.
Huh. Never thought of it that way because I'm pretty much Coors Light or maybe an occasional Bud Light
at
all
times.
See,
that's where you go wrong, man. I've probably got five different beers in my refrigerator right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Different times.
Yes,
different
absolutely.
Moods,
we do too, and I don't even drink beer, but it's
yeah,
just
I've got.
Every once in a while, I'll get fancy with a Corona.
Got Yingling.
We got plenty of Corona.
I've got Corona. Yeah. I've got Shock Top. I've got Key Billy, which is Key West Brewing, I believe.
Yeah.
And I've got some Gateway Gold from Fort Myers Brewing down the road as well.
Bud Light, Miller Light, Coors Light, Corona Light, Sam Adams, Modelo. What else do you have? And ginger beer, too, for another concoction. That
I just have Coors Light in my refrigerator right now. There might be some other...
And I don't even drink beer.
Yeah, I know. You like more solid, you know, more substantial stuff.
No, just vodka soda.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones.
Got
to
get tiring the same thing all the time.
No, doesn't.
You like change it up. Instead of a lime, actually, you go with a lemon wedge or orange wedge.
I had a beer the other day. I had a beer last Sunday at the pool.
Probably something really manly too, like a Mick Ultra.
Nope. It was a Miller Lite draft.
Huh.
Yeah.
Draft.
Yeah.
Draft.
Yeah.
Every time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Every single time.
I know enough to know that. Yes. Aaron in Fort Myers. You're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Go ahead.
Aaron.
Hey, what's up, Jen?
What's up?
You are, man.
So we're talking about beer, and it's apparent to me you guys have never been to Fort Myers Brewery.
No, I have been there.
Aaron, what are you talking about, man? I just said I got some Gateway Gold sitting in my fridge.
Well, I'm talking about Mango Habanero, and you're saying the Habanero beer isn't spicy, and I can assure you it's very spicy, first of all. Delicious.
Yeah.
But very spicy. And secondly, IPAs get into 10%. Get a load of their OYA, double IPA, and it's phenomenal. And I believe it's like 10.5% sometimes. I think it even might stretch to 11 every now and then.
Yes, that's what I thought. I know I've seen beers down here with 10%.
Thanks, Aaron.
This 239 says Key West Brewing makes a mean rum. Is that what I got at Key West? The
probably.
Yeah, I love that rum.
Maybe.
Yeah. You know, the big place. It's just right next to the...
The big place.
There's a big place. Right? The big.
You sound like a 4-year-old explaining directions. Where do you live, little Timmy? By the big place.
When you get off the boat at Key West and you go by that swimming pool you told me never to go to.
What's your dad's name? Daddy.
And then after you pass that swimming pool you told me never to go to.
Dante's.
There's a big brewery right there. You call it Rum House or whatever. Yeah, I think it's Key West Brewing right there. Got some rum there. It's got the dark rum. Like that better than the light rum?
Was it a spiced? I'm sure it was a spiced rum.
No, I think it's all I can tell you is it's dark. I had a choice between dark and light.
It doesn't tell you anything. I'm pretty confident that was a spiced rum.
Dark's a little
sweeter. You sound like a spiced rum type of guy.
It doesn't seem to have any extra spice. It just seems like alcohol rum.
Was it a little stronger? Did it go down pretty smooth?
It makes me pound the chest when I swallow.
Oh, then maybe it was real rum.
Yeah, I didn't go any with me.
But there's nothing wrong with a good Captain Morgan.
No.
Nothing wrong.
That used to be my go-to way back. But don't do the sugar.
No.
Yeah. Too much. But Bacardi and Diet Coke is okay.
There you go.
They're all good rums.
All right, boys and girls.
They're all good.
Guess what time it is? What you got?
The end of the week.
Coming up next. Get you into the weekend.
Beer o'clock. That's what time it is.
It's beer o'clock. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Time for those parting shots. It's What You Got with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Now, it's Sheeman and Shepherd.
Don't forget high school football later on tonight. 6:30 pregame. They scheduled to airtime South Fort Myers at Palmetto Ridge. On this date in history, September 21st, 2001, you remember after the entire sporting world stopped down for 10 days, basically, because of 9/11. Today was the day when the Mets and Mike Piazza had his famous home run where the baseball started again after 9/11 in New York City, and the Mets beat the Braves. Mm-hmm. He hit the famous home run in that game that was on this night in history in 2001. As the Mets beat the Braves, Mike Piazza, probably his most famous home run, if you will. A look at the calendar, tomorrow, the 22nd, at about 9:54 p.m., the autumnal equinox. It's fall! There you go.
Now, I thought it was the 21st every year.
It's not always exact. Sometimes it's the 20th, sometimes the 21st, sometimes the 22nd.
So read a book, Pete.
That's autumn, as far as I'm concerned.
I don't know. I don't even know what that meant.
All right, Pete Shepherd, what you got?
I don't want to play anymore. Shirtless J.R. Smith. Yes, that one. Made his return last night, and Baker Mayfield have him to thank for it because the Cavs star went nuts after the rookie led the Browns to win. It all went down at First Energy Stadium in Cleveland, where J.R. had luxury box seats to see the Baker-led Browns finally win a game. And he took off his shirt and then went topless in public for hours, rocking no shirt for the entire like he did when he was in the Cavs championship parade. I don't understand that.
Trying to get attention for himself now. I mean, LeBron's gone. Baker's taken over the city. The Cavs got nothing.
He says, it's over. Let's go. It's over. Topless JR screamed last night after the win. We ouch. We out ya. No shirt, shorty. We out here.
Oh.
Okay.
Awesome.
All right.
All right. Yesterday,
get a rebound.
Tiger Woods eagled from 27 feet on 18. He's on 18 now. It looks like a 31-footer. I don't know if this is for eagle or for birdie. I've lost track because, you know, I'm hosting a radio show. I'll keep an eye on this for you. Chris, what you got?
I'm trying to find something.
you can do play-by-play of the putt.
Yeah, I thought about going here. Ole Miss cuts ties with donor who gave $5.3 million to university after he goes on a racist Facebook rant. But it's Friday. Nobody
That's kind of a downer.
Wants to hear that or anything.
Tiger.
So how about that guy, huh? This is for eagle on the outright lead. He's on the par 5 18th, 6 under par. Yep. I believe he's one back of the lead right
with
now.
Double bogey.
This is 4 feet longer than the one he hit yesterday.
Held by Justin Rose. Yeah. Tiger standing over the putt, very methodical.
Putting through shadow.
But looks really comfortable as well. It's not easy putting through your shadow.
Not.
Definitely a different element. Putt is on the way, approaching the hole. A lot of speed.
Just to the left and ran by it by about 2.5 feet.
Yeah, he's got 2.5 cleanup for his birdie. That'll put him in a tie for the lead. Second time this tournament, we could say Tiger tied for the lead.
He missed a putt like that
maybe about
today.
3 feet.
He missed
maybe
a putt like that earlier
about
today.
3 feet.
All right, we'll keep an eye on that. We got Spain and Fitz coming up next.
They are together.
Did Field Yates say he was sitting in tonight, or is it Monday?
I think it's Fitzy solo today. Hold on.
All right.
Solo Fitz tonight.
What's he talking tonight? Football?
Baker.
No, he's got to recap last night, even though it's about, that's it.
Got to go Baker. Baker slash Hugh.
Hugh.
Huge.
Man.
Hugh. There's a Hugh. Anyway, what are you up? So you're going to sleep this weekend or what?
I think I got to wrap it up. Chris is
30
doing,
seconds.
Chris
no, is I miscounted and I was wrong. I was on 30 seconds late now, but let's just
you want me to just wrap it up?
No, like I don't, because I'd rather be 30 seconds late than 19 seconds late, and that's just a whole math problem I don't want to deal with right now.
Okay, fine. Everybody have a good weekend. Enjoy the football. And I know I am as well.
Oh, yeah, $1,000 code word coming up.
Oh, that's right. Top of the hour. Stay with
us. Just keep listening.
All right, for Chris, for Pete Shepard, I'm Craig Sheeman. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. Great job by all of us, everybody. God bless America.